Welcome to RCC. My name is Nathan, and I'm one of the pastors here at RCC, and we would love to hear from you. In fact, there's cards in front of you. Go ahead and fill them out. Let us know you're here, and if you have anything to pray about, put it on that card. You can bring it to the prayer team later on and put it in the giving box on your way out the door. And don't forget, let's lead the way in generosity. Your generosity is changing the world. So many people are coming to Christ because of what you give through River Christian Church. You can see up on the screen right now ways of giving, and you can pick one of these ways. And once again, let's put God first and foremost in every area of our life, including what he gives us, so we can expand the kingdom together. I'm excited. We have a lot of things that are happening today and this week, and we want to give you a heads up even about next week. One is we have a gear sale that's taking place right now, and this is the last week, so if you're looking at buying any RCC gear, don't put it off. Now's your chance. We got polos, shirts, hoodies, everything for sale for you out in the atrium. So right after the service, just go out there and pick up some RCC gear. And next week, we're excited because we have our annual RCC kickball, and it's a great way for all the families to come together. It is a family-friendly event. We would love to have you and the kids, your grandchildren, just come out there, and we have a ball every year when we do this. So it's taking place on Sunday, April 28th at 1 p.m. You can look in the bulletin for more information about what food to bring, but we cannot wait to compete with each other next week. So come out here and join us on that 28th. You know, today's a big day. I'm so excited because we have a guest speaker by the name of Mac Owens. Mac, I've known for several years. I heard him speak in Phoenix, Arizona at a Celebrate Recovery meeting, and it was just phenomenal. Mac is a global director for Celebrate Recovery. Mac has been an elder for many years. In fact, if you know anything about Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty story, Mac and Phil actually served together as elders in Louisiana. And I think it's phenomenal because both of them have a very similar story about coming from the darkness and then coming into light because of Jesus Christ. Mac is going to continue our series today about salty identity, about what my identity is in Jesus. And we're so grateful to have Mac. Once again, he's been an elder. He's been married to his wife, Mary, for 47 years. They got 3 kids. They got 10 grandchildren. And I tell you what, we're just so excited about what God has done in Mac's life. So I can't wait to hear from Mac today. Without further ado, RCC, will you give it up for Mac Owens?
It doesn't work in your back pocket, so. Good morning, RCC. Mary and I are from Louisiana. We moved to Colorado 13 years ago. We live at 9,000 feet elevation. So when I come down here and do these things, the folks that I'm around say, for an old man, you got a lot of energy. And they say, are you on some kind of vitamins? What are you taking? I say, no, y'all got something we don't have, oxygen. So I am, even though it's wet oxygen down here, I'm breathing all of it I can. Actually, the day we left on Thursday, no, we left on Wednesday, it was low 20s and light snow. And so we got here, and I have been sweating, and I like it. It's nice. It's great to be here in the house of God with God's people at RCC. And I was just thinking about, you guys know, like the rest of us, here in this country, that we're seeing our country being torn apart in ways that we never thought possible. At the same time, I believe there is revival going on. The church here is growing. The church where I attend in Impact Christian Church in Woodland Park, Colorado, is growing. And I believe that is because the King, our King, Jesus, is on the throne. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So now, by now, you guys know that I am in recovery. And I work with people in Celebrate Recovery. And that means being in recovery, that there's always going to be something that I need to work on in my life. Now, at this point, you may be tempted to check out. You may be thinking, oh, he's going to do a recovery sermon this morning. And I'm not in recovery, so I'll just check out. Don't do it. Because you might even be thinking, is recovery really even in the Bible? Well, I'm going to show you something. I got one of your Bibles, an RCC Bible, off the front row down here. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to get to the third chapter in Genesis. So the first 3 chapters is this part up here that I'm holding up. And this is how God told us to live our life. He said, here's the plan. I want you to follow it. And we blew it. This thick part down here, that's the recovery part. He Now, to put recovery in biblical terms, I'll refer to it with a biblical word, and that's sanctification. So sanctification and recovery are synonymous because they mean getting closer to Jesus one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. And I believe that is all our goal, because when we come to Jesus, when we turn ourselves in, when we go public, it's because we want to become more like Jesus. Now, if I'm going to have to do all the amen and the preaching, this is going to take a lot longer. So when we come to Jesus, it's to become more like him, right? Amen. Okay, there we go now. The bottom line is I need to be less like me. That is the way I was in my past life, and more like I am in him now, more like this new life that I've been given. Paul said it like this in Philippians 1, 3 through 6. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion the day of Jesus Christ. So here's what I know, according to these verses. If you are following somebody, if there's a mentor in your life, and they are telling you, you know, I just don't have anything to work on anymore. I pretty much got this thing knocked out. And by their actions, they seem to have arrived. I got three words for you. Run from them. Because it is not biblical according to what Paul said here. He did this, and he said that, told us when the work would be completed, because he knew that a lot of us would become like Pharisees, and we'd get a list, and we'd start checking things off, and when I got them all checked off, I'd say, well, there you go. I got nothing else to work on. So Paul lets us know our completion date. He lets us know when we won't struggle with anything else anymore. He lets us know when there won't be anything else to work on. He lets us know when there won't be any more temptations. And he says it's when Jesus comes back. Now, last time I checked, Jesus is not back. So that means from Pastor Nathan on down, we all have work to do in our lives to become more like Jesus. You know, I love being around people in the church who know that they've been rescued, because the more I come to understand and am around people that know they've been rescued, I come to understand that we all operate or live our lives by listening to the voices we hear. I'll never forget how glad I was when somebody told me they had a committee living in their head. I said, me too, and I get outvoted very frequently. So I had to learn to discern what voice I was going to listen to in order to embrace this new identity that I've been given in Jesus. And whatever voice I fed, that would be the one that would direct my path. For instance, I can be standing talking to somebody, holding a cup of hot coffee, and I hear a voice in my head that says, I wonder what would happen if I threw this on them. Now, look, to date, I will say I've not thrown on coffee on anybody, because I choose not to act on that voice, even though I hear it. And some of you are saying, he hears voices like you don't. Come on. I'm not the only weirdo in here, right? Okay. Amen. Amen. Woo! Now we got it going around here. I can start preaching now. So my life now centers on listening to and acting on the right voice, whom we know, if you've been here any length of time in this relationship with Jesus, who we all know now as the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the one that Jesus said he was going to give us to be our comforter here on earth when he went back to heaven to be our advocate. So the question is this: are you listening to the voice from the past, from your old life? Or are you listening to the voice that has taken up residence in you now, the one that says, I will give you a new identity? And like Pastor Nathan said last week, Today, my identity comes from God. Not a label that the world would give me or that my past says I am, but my identity comes from God and the Holy Spirit living in me today, telling me who and whose I am. And that reminds me of the old Cajun Boudreaux and his friend Thibodeau. Boudreaux was going to the country store one day, and he stepped up on the front porch. He needed to get a little groceries, and there was a parrot standing there. And that parrot said, "Hey." Well, Boudreaux looked around and said, "That bird talking to me?" And he said, "What?" That bird said, "You ugly." Well, Boudreaux was mildly irritated, but he thought, "Oh, it's just a dumb bird. No problem." So he goes in to get his groceries. He comes back on the front porch, and that bird's looking at him again. That bird said, "Hey." Boudreaux said, "What?" That bird said, "You ugly." Now Boudreaux was mad. So he walks into that country store and he talks to Thibodeau. He said, "Look, I don't know who that bird belonged to on that front porch, but if that bird ever say to me what he's been saying to me, he won't leave that front porch alive. I can guarantee you that." Thibodeau said, "Hey, settle down, man. That's just a dumb bird. I can promise you this. He will not say to you again what he's been saying." Boudreaux said, "Well, he better not. That's all I got to say on the matter." So he walked out on the front porch again. There's that bird looking at him. He's trying to get off the front porch, but that bird said, "Hey." Boudreaux said, "What?" That bird said, "You know." So today, we stop listening to the voices that have been directing our path and listen to the only voice that matters. And take into consideration what the creator of the cosmos and beyond says about each one of us. You know, for a long time, I told everybody that my favorite book in the Bible was Colossians. And my sweet wife pointed out to me, "Mac, you say that about all the books." And I said, "I do not think I've ever said that about Leviticus." Just saying. But truth be told, Colossians is in the top five of my favorite books in all the Bible, because it's in this book that we really see that God has a plan for us, and that plan is to rescue us from ourselves, giving us that new identity. And it's in the very first chapter of Colossians, verse 13 and 14, where Paul lets us know that every one of us has a problem, and there had to be a rescue for us to be in relationship with God eternally. Notice what Paul says. "For he," God, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all our sins." I love it when Paul said that, because he said he rescued us. Not just one of us, not just some of us, but all of us needed to be rescued. None of us have been good enough not to need a rescue. And it gets better as you go on down that same chapter. Because in verse 21, it says this: "Once you were alienated from God," that's pre-rescue. So we were alienated from God and were enemies in our own minds. In your mind, you were enemies of God, listening to the wrong voice. And he said, while you were enemies, it was because of your own evil behavior. Now check this out. I love this. "But," hey, look, we're going to talk about a lot of buts today. Anytime you see the word "but" in the Bible, you need to stop and look and listen. He says, "But now, he," God, "has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy." Now, look, I was called a lot of things in my past life. Holy wasn't one of them, unless it was holy terror, maybe. But God, the creator of the cosmos and beyond, now calls us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, that's that sanctification, recovery, continuing in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. You know, Paul would go on. I love this, because if you just, that whole first chapter, it's golden. If you go to the end of that in verse 28, he says, "Now that all this has happened to you, that God sees you as perfect," I mean, as holy, "he presents you perfect in his sight." So we're all presented now perfect in God. So God views us in our new identity as perfect, even when we know that we fall short. You know what? That is good news. It's almost unbelievable news, but you got to believe it. God views you as perfect. And speaking of good news, we have cell groups at our church where we're at. Home, we call them home church. A lot of them meet on Sunday nights. We meet all during the week because just like you guys here, we found that 3 hours on Sunday or 2 hours on Sunday just isn't enough out of 168 during the week, right? We got to have more face-to-face time with each other if we're going to make it through this world alive. So we're sitting in a group one night, and it wasn't started yet, and so I just threw out like a question, sort of an icebreaker, and I said, hey, what's the best news anybody ever told you? Well, we had a new Christian in the group, and he said, I was like, good night, okay, what was it? He said, oh, that's easy, the charges are dropped. And that's what we did, too. We laughed. But you know what? There were a lot of us in that group that knew exactly how good those words were to hear. But in reality, as we reflected back, and this, his answer that night took center stage to our whole group that night. Because in reality, those should be the words we all long to hear concerning our salvation. The charges are dropped. Colossians 2, next chapter in Colossians 13 and 14, says it this way. This is out of the Message, so it's a little bit different. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Jesus. Think of it. All your sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, those old arrest warrants with your name on them, canceled, nailed to Christ's cross. I love that in verse 14 where it says, the old arrest warrant. You see, all of us had those arrest warrants out for us with our name on them. But when we turned ourselves into Jesus, he said, I will now cancel those and drop the charges. That's gospel. That is good. That is the good news. You know, when I come to the realization, and this really is for all of us, that none of us, not one of us, were good enough. We haven't done enough good things, and we'll never be able to do enough good things to be in the presence of Jesus eternally. That can be quite unsettling. I don't like that. Even when we've lived a really good life, and we come to the realization that one sin is what separates us from God. And we know that because of Romans 6:23, where it says the wages of sin is death. Watch out, though, because there's that word. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John the Apostle had a great handle on this. And he realized the magnitude of a sinful life and what it would do for us eternally when he wrote the book of 1 John chapter 2. And here's what we find in that very first verse. My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So John writes to his dear children, and right out of the gate, he says, I'm writing this so you will not sin. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, ever? And John says, yes, I mean, ever. I write this to you so you'll never sin again, ever. That's the standard. The standard is don't sin. And I'm looking at it thinking, well, I guess that means I'm out because I know sometime this morning I have messed up. I've done something. And if you're anything like me, you probably have too. But then there's that word, but if and when anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. I love this because it goes on to say he's not only speaking in our defense about the things we've done and the penalties for our mistakes, but also, I might add in here, willful disobedience. And I say that because try as I might, I'd like to say that all my sin is a mistake. It's an accident. Oh, I just slipped into that. I don't know how that happened. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I know the difference between right and wrong, and so do you. And so we find ourselves in this place of being rebellious, even in a relationship with Jesus. And I know that's true because Paul said the same thing. He said, I know what to do that is right in Romans 7. But I find myself doing the very thing I know to do that is wrong. I find myself doing that, not the right things that I know that I should do. So let's take a little closer look at what John is saying here through the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul would say it like this concerning going before the Father. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that is, each one of us may receive what is due him for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. So Paul would tell us here that we're all going to have to give an account for everything we've done, good or bad. So he would say we need an advocate, we need a representative, we need someone to speak in our defense. And that's where John comes in, because he tells us that we're all going to stand before the judge in chapter 2 of 1 John. Then he identifies who the judge is. He said, oh yeah, by the way, the judge here is your Father. I'm like, okay, that sounds better already. So I'm standing before the judge who happens to be my Father, but it gets better than that because then he identifies the one speaking in our defense. And he says, the one speaking in your defense is your older brother, Jesus. So now my older brother is talking to my Father about me. And Jesus says, can I get a witness? And he says, I'm going to call a witness right now. And the Father says, well, the price you paid is already enough. You don't really need to call a witness. Jesus said, got to call a witness here. So in Romans 8:16, it says this, the Spirit, that's big S, Holy Spirit, himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So in a court of law, who is it that testifies against you or for you? It's a witness. They call witnesses, and in this case, the only witness that is called, not a hostile witness, it's a witness for us. It's a witness for the defense. So now we have the Holy Spirit saying, hey, all I can testify is they're family. They're part of us. You talk about a stacked court. I think I got a pretty good chance. My father's the judge. My older brother's talking to him. And the only one that's going to testify is the Spirit that lives in me today. Woo! And the next sound we hear is, when that gavel hits that wooden block and says, the charges are dropped, paid in full. Man, I like that courtroom. So what we see then is salvation for each one of us that names Jesus as Lord and Savior. Salvation is total and instant. When you name Jesus Savior, you can't be any more saved. You're saved completely right then. Now, sanctification or recovery, on the other hand, is going to be a lifetime process. None of us have arrived. So you have to ask yourself, well, what is it that I'm struggling with today? And you have to ask yourself, what battle am I fighting? And I'm fighting all alone right now, by myself. You know, if you're struggling with anything and you want to quit, that's exactly where God wants you. You know why? God only, check this out, and check me out when I say this. Go home today and see. God only uses broken people to advance his kingdom. Only. I mean, check it out. Look at God's great leaders. Abraham, he definitely had a problem telling the truth. Moses, every time he got angry, he'd hit something and break it. Then there was Paul. He said, you know, a good idea would be to murder God's people. And then there was Peter, anger and abandonment issues. David, purity issues, right? I mean, he's the guy we wouldn't allow to be alone with his computer today unless his accountability partners were sitting right next to him. And then there was Mary Magdalene. She had so many demons, they didn't even name them all. But guess who Jesus appeared to first in his resurrected body? Well, the men were still asleep. It said Mary Magdalene went out before the sun came up to find Jesus because she knew he had a plan. And then we all remember Rahab. She was self-employed. What? God uses a prostitute to hold the safety of his people in her hands, and then later she shows up somewhere pretty interesting, right? In the lineage of the Savior of the world. Now, if I was God, I would say something like, we don't have to share all our dirty laundry. But that's not what he did. He puts her name right there in the lineage of Jesus Christ, when women weren't named in the lineage, only the men were. And look, if you look at that too, she was a Gentile. There's only four women named in the lineage of Jesus, three of which were Gentiles. Only one was a Jew. That was Mary. Figure that one out. That gives us all great hope in this room. And if God will use a prostitute, puts her in the lineage of the Savior of the world, I think he'll use us too. Now, I will say this. None of us, starting with me, are above being overwhelmed or discouraged. So from time to time, I find myself needed to be reminded of who I belong to and how my Father in heaven now views me. I won't have time to give you all the scriptures for the things I'm about to tell you, but if you decide, hey, I want those, just email the church office. They'll email me, and I'll be glad to give you all these scriptures. But what I would encourage you to do, because this is a very short list of what I'm about to give you, what I would encourage you to do is go to get your Bible, dig in, do a Google search, type in, how does God view me today? Start writing down verses. So when you're overwhelmed, you can come up with a list to say, this is what I need to hear today. So when I feel overwhelmed, I start going through this list myself. And I remember today that I am not guilty. There is no condemnation in me today. I am freed from sin. I'm more than a conqueror. I am a child of God. I am a co-heir with Jesus himself. I'm holy. I'm free from accusation. I'm without blemish. I'm viewed as perfect today. I'm God's workmanship, and I'm his temple. He made me his house. He lives in me today. I'm valuable. I was bought with the highest price. I'm a new creation. I love this one. You just smell good today, Mac. That's a nice one. He said, you're my ambassador. I'm going to speak through you. You're my son today. You're my chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. And you're friends of Jesus. You were knitted together in your mother's womb by God himself. And God just says, I like you. Man. When I'm overwhelmed with problems, that's what I need to hear. That's how the creator of the cosmos views us today, if you've named Jesus your Savior. Here's what I know. If you're struggling with something today, and you're struggling all alone, I got two words for you. Stop it. Stop it. That was never the intended plan. God never intended any of us to walk this road alone. And if you're struggling all alone, there is a family here, RCC Church, and Celebrate Recovery at RCC Church that wants to walk with you. No one needs to fight this battle alone. So as the worship team comes, I would ask you this. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, you know, I am ready for the, I want that new identity. I haven't done it yet, but I want to claim Jesus as my Savior. Don't let any of the voices in your head stop you from doing that just now. The voices that say, yeah, but it'd be scary to come down here and talk to the prayer team that's going to be down here. It'd be scary. Or it'd be embarrassing if I told them what I'm struggling with or that I struggle at all. Guess what? We already know. Every one of us struggles with something. Don't let that hold you back from naming Jesus Christ your Savior. Or maybe you've already made him Lord of your life and you find yourself still struggling, still overwhelmed with life. Guess what? We get that too. Remember this. None of us have arrived. We can't do this life alone. Please, let us help. We want to walk with you.